I think we should do a YouTube of orb hugs on the mic.
I think that'd be really cool.
This is a great ministry. I am so glad to just watch it grow and see people that I've known for a long time and new faces. And this is a privilege to come. So, of course, I prayed about what word to bring, and it is with trepidation anytime one stands before a group of people of God to bring the word of God, that God, in fact, would show up and speak a word. And so that's what I want. I want us to hear from God. I want us to hear from God, and I pray that something that comes from this message will become true, true life to us and to you as a church that is, I know Christian as a pastor is just so proud of you, I mean, the way he speaks of you, and that's a real pastor's heart, to be proud of the flock. And at the same time, as a pastor, I know the main goal is to move the sheep. Sheep ain't supposed to stand still. So keep moving. And I know you'll be moving in a very clear way very soon to Fairhaven. And so I come to you with this great story of Elijah. How many know the Elijah story? Elijah, the great man of God. Before we look at it, I guess we could put the scripture up there. Great. What translations are? Okay. All right. So before we read it, just to get the background, this chapter 19 is an unlikely follow-up of what just happened in chapter 18. So paint a little background for you. The land of Israel is falling apart. Economically, morally, spiritually, the people have turned from God. They are now filling their landscape with the worship of a pagan god called Baal. So the temples and the shrines of Baal are everywhere. It's a bad time to be a believer. And the glory days are over. And now we're seeing the kings, as you read that section of Chronicles, right? It says, and he did more evil than his father, and he did more evil than his father, and he did more evil than his father. Well, we had probably the worst king now. I mean, we're looking at King Ahab. Who was the worst, right? But his wife was worse. His wife, Queen Jezebel, basically set up all these Baal gods. And in chapter 18, Elijah, the man of God, does what? He challenges the Baal worshipers and the prophets to a face-off. He says, look, if Baal is God, we're going to set up a sacrifice here. You all know the story, right? This is a great story for kids. Great story. And so they set them all up, and they're going to offer their sacrifices and their cattle, and they're going to call upon Baal, and Elijah's over here, and he'll do the same thing. So they have a face-off, and the prophets of Baal, they call out, and they're shaking and jumping up and down, and at one point Elijah says, call out louder, maybe your God's asleep, or maybe he's going to the bathroom, or, you know, something is wrong, what's going on? And they just keep trying and trying. So eventually, what happens? Elijah says, all right, enough, my turn. So he gets these buckets of water, right, onto his sacrifice, on his altar, pours it with buckets and buckets of water, it's dripping wet. And then he calls upon the God of Israel, Jehovah God, Yahweh, and boom, the sacrifice is licked up. All the water's lapped up, and man, they all go, oh my God, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. And I mean, I can't think of a higher point if you're going to be God's superstar than that moment. Chapter 18 is a high, high point, which makes this next scenario all the more unlikely. Now the prophets have been killed, and Jezebel gets word. Hear now God's word to us. King Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and now he had killed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he may die. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked. Come out a little bit. I guess not. And baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. He saw it and he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you. He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Oreb, the mount of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall also anoint Jehu, son of Nishi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. And down to verse 18. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. God's word for us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, our desire is that you would speak afresh. We are merely human, Lord. My words are human, our ears are human, our hearts are human. But by your power, your powerful Holy Spirit, you speak, Lord. Your Spirit who came before even creation to continue to make us new people. We are ready, Lord, for you to have your way in our life. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I think Christian and I go back a little further than that. He just doesn't realize how old he is now. But we did connect even more when he was at seminary. And at that point, we were passing ships in the night when it comes to being Presbyterian. He was on his way out. I was on my way in. And boy, do I regret it. No, I'm just kidding. But I knew nothing about being Presbyterian. Nothing. And all my evangelical friends from California says, Croak, you could do it. You could be Presbyterian. I think you can. I said, all right, I'll do it. So I became Presbyterian, and then my first church was in Rumson, where I was the youth pastor, and Christian worked a little later on, but he's Presbyterian, so he knows all this. This is all new for me. So it's like the picnic, it's June, it's like the, you know, we're out there in the Oak Grove, and we have the church picnic, and then people are done, and then choir's done, the committees are done, and one guy says, hey, I'll see you in September. I said, what? So, well, we go down to the boat club, and then we have, you know, the beach club, and, you know, we do this, and, you know, I won't see you around. I said, what? So I went up to the senior pastor. I said, are they allowed to do that? And he said, yeah, that's what Presbyterians do. They have an off season. I said, okay. Now, I was raised Catholic, and on top of that, became saved in a Baptist church. There is no off-season. You have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday evening as a Baptist. So I was a bit shocked. But you know what? I got used to it. There's something good about the off season. Something good about things quieting down, slowing down, giving us time to rest and think. But there's also a downside. When it gets too quiet, when it gets too lonely, when it gets too much time to think, when we may start thinking, is what I'm doing really important? There's nothing really going on, and it may feel a little strange, like the phone isn't ringing, I'm not getting any texts, and no one's really asking for me, and does my ministry make a difference, pastors? We've asked that. Is this relationship making a difference? Are my gifts making a difference? I want to talk to you today about the off-season that can lead to apathy, indifference, and depression. Depression is a topic we don't always touch on in church, but it's one that we have to think about. Churches have off-seasons, and so do Christians. And for the Christian, the question is, have the best times of my walk with God passed me by? Now, the older you get, you'll relate more. Right, Pete? You say, I don't have that walk with God. I don't have all those sparks. Are those best times behind me? Have you ever been in an off season? Have you ever just felt off, like you say? So I feel a little off. You know, hey, I'm kind of off. Things aren't right. I'm not on. Things aren't what they used to be. Sometimes it's our job, it's off, or family connections, it's off, or our health is off. You're just feeling terrible. Off seasons. And even though depression and being out of it and apathetic and self-absorbed is not something we want to admit to, but in church we need to talk about it. Because folks, we got company. This guy, Elijah, is letting us get real close up and see his situation. I'm going to call it the Elijah syndrome. Yeah, the Elijah syndrome, where you have a glory time when things are going full guns, hitting on all cylinders, and then boom, there he is, so transparent in his self-pity, he is hiding under a tree and wants to die after he just floored Jezebel and all her false prophets. What is up with that? I don't know, but I hear three words that God speaks to him. I want to share what I hope will be three words for the ministry of Orb as they come to us through the life of Elijah. The first one is, get up. Get up. God's word first to him speaks to his self-pity. Because he was so wrapped up in himself, poor me, that he forgot to take care of himself. You know, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is eat, take a nap. When we are self-absorbed, we forget to shower, we forget to exercise, we forget to shave. We don't want to do any of that. And we wonder why God can't get through to us sometimes. The angel just says, get up, go eat this food, get up, rest. You're going to have a long journey ahead of you. Yeah, so folks, when we're in that Elijah syndrome, learn to connect with other people. Get out of yourself. You're really not that fun, you know, when you're self-absorbed. Really, you're not. So he gets up, and where does he go? What happens next? He says, you must go in the strength of this food for the journey 40 days and 40 nights. Ah. You are going to Mount Oreb. Now, imagine you're an ancient Israelite. You're reading this account of 1 Kings. You're aware that your country is a mess, that the best times have passed. And you're just saying, something good has to happen, some good news. And all of a sudden, the author of the story is saying, get up, Elijah, and go to Mount Oreb 40 days and 40 nights. And you immediately, as a devoted Jew, know exactly what's going on, which is Mount Oreb is Mount Sinai. 40 days and 40 nights is who? Moses, yeah. So as the reader of the text is saying, wow, he's bringing us back to those glory days. This is going to be amazing. They're waiting for all that God's going to do. Mount Oreb, go back to Sinai. Earth, wind, and fire. Not the band, but it's what happened when the Ten Commandments came. There was an earthquake. Look at Exodus. There was a fire and there was a wind. The reader knows something good is going to happen. The glory days are coming back. And so there we imagine Elijah somewhere in that cave. He's probably got his DVD of Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments. He's getting all pumped up. You know, God's going to really kick butt when it comes to Jezebel. This is going to be great. Look what God's going to do. He's saying, go back to this place. It's all looking good. Except, God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? You're going backwards. Why are you going back? So he speaks a second word, which is, go out. Go out of that cave. I'm not going to do what your forefathers saw me do again. Go out of the cave and wait, for I will show up. Okay, the reader's still thinking this is going to get good, because who else went out to the mouth of the cave? Who else put their cloak around their face? Who else was hidden in a rock? Come on, y'all. Any Baptists out there? Moses, right? Moses. Moses did the same thing. So he goes out and waits. Now you know the story. The earthquake came, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Come on, you. Come on, let's move. The fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. The wind came, but the Lord was not in the
wind.
Right. And we are told to say, still small voice is where God was, but that's really a bad translation. This is the right one we read. The Hebrew phrase is very weird and strange, and it literally is sheer silence. There was no word spoken. There was nothing. Go out, and I'm going to meet you in nothing, in quiet. Wow. My brothers and sisters, I think sometimes God shows us who he is by who he isn't. God shows us by what he is, by what he is not. God brings on off seasons in our life so we can say, man, there's got to be something behind this. Who is the God of all seasons? God lets our traditions fail and our building plans fail and our music program to change and personnel to change because he wants to show us the God behind all those things. Once an old lady was giving testimony on a Wednesday night, you know, one of those Baptist churches? And the pastor was saying, "What? Tell us about God. What is God like?" God's like a shepherd. And one person says, God is like my rock. And a person says, God is my best friend. And they go on. Finally, this lady stands up in the back and says, I'd like to say what God is for me. And he said, yeah, please share with us. She said, God is like no other. Yeah, God is like no other. And he meets us in the off-season. You know, I've been in an off-season of my life. I've been pastoring for 21 years. I thought I had a new position up in Bloomfield, and it fell through. I quit my job already like a fool. Maybe not, but I did. And so I left my church in Lincroft, and it fell apart, and I was unemployed and living alone and eating dog food. No, I'm just kidding. But I started to question. Now, I have a cat. But, and she eats all her food. Yeah. But beyond just trying to get a paycheck, which I did miss because I was living off my savings, I started to wonder, maybe pastoring is over. Maybe it's just done. And I struggled, folks, with my identity apart from being a pastor. It was a tough off season. And as of 2 weeks ago, I'm now pastoring a new church in Clark. Off seasons are good for us. Or you're going through an off season, if not now, eventually. You're going through a new season. And the fact is, you're going to have to work hard at saying, I'm not going to go back to the glory days. I'm not going to fall into the Elijah syndrome. You know, remember when we worked this ministry on the parks and we met down in the basement of Trinity Episcopal Church, and man, that was so cool. Remember all the portraits up in the wall, man, those crazy couches. I remember one time going in and there was Christian in an aluminum bodysuit, you know, like just crazy, you know. And I said, man, remember those days? And you're young, you know. You're going to be, you know, watch this. You'll start talking this way like your grandparents. And you'll realize, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could go back to that? Now we got elders and committees and, oh my gosh. So easy to do that if we can only go back. Many of you may know Mike Iaconelli, who passed away, started Youth Specialties, great youth minister. And he told a story to us at Princeton about this amazing vacation he had with his wife, because they finally saved up enough money and they decided to go to Hawaii. And they landed on the island of Maui. And he wanted to treat his wife to this beautiful first-class hotel, which is great. And they found this wonderful restaurant just under a cove overlooking the Pacific Ocean. And they ordered this lemon-crusted sea bass and this bottle of wine of Chardonnay. It was just the best, and they just couldn't believe it. And Mike Iaconelli says he reaches across the table, and he takes his wife's hand, and he looks her in the eye, and he just starts weeping, starts crying. He's so happy, so grateful. Well, it took about 10 more years before they can save up enough money, and they went back. He said, let's do it again. They went back to the same spot in Maui, got the same room, went to that same restaurant overlooking that spot in the Pacific, ordered that same lemon-crusted sea bass, and the same bottle of Chardonnay. And Mike then reached across the table. He took his wife's hand. He looked her in the eye. He just started to weep, because in those 10 years, everything got so darn expensive. He didn't have enough money. He was broke. He couldn't go back. Now, this is a growth moment for some of you younger folks at Orb, because you will come to a point in your life where you will do what we do, who are older folk in the body of Christ, fall into Elijah syndrome. If it hasn't happened, it will. Be ready. A great friend of mine, Joan Nixon, who many of you know, taught a class on midlife spirituality. And she said when she went to this seminar, this woman started the opening and said, I'm going to talk to you about midlife spirituality, what it means when the things that don't work anymore in your 20s and 30s. And she says, I'm going to call this the time of don't know. You don't know. This age, you know Jesus in a way and your friends, but pretty soon as you marry, as you move, you won't have that connection. Things will change, your job, your routine, things will change. Sometimes you'll go through a crisis or a tragedy and you will wonder where God is. Things will change. You'll be in an off season and you'll wonder, gosh, it'd be great to go back to the glory days. I just dropped off my son. He's 19 years old, a freshman in college. He's overwhelmed. He admitted it. He said, Dad, I went up there to just kind of hang him out, you know, hold his hand kind of and help him with a couple of English papers. But he said, gosh, Dad, I wish I was little again. I was like touching. I said, wow. But Dylan, that's not going to happen. Go out. Don't fall back to where are those glory days, because God has something new. And so what happens, it's not a sound of a voice, it's a sound of silence. God speaks about what he is not, what he is behind. Amen? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He doesn't need glory days. He doesn't need the glory days of being in the basement at Trinity Church. He doesn't even need your future where you'll be in Fairhaven. He doesn't need any of that. But he's going to give it to you. Just don't depend on those times. One thing I like about Orb is that you do silence. I think that's awesome. You know, some churches, Presbyterians especially, they're afraid of silence. Oh, my gosh. And the bulletin, What's next? All right, what are we doing now? Oh, and you no, just stop. Just throw it all out and just be quiet. 30 seconds, you know. But as you've done it, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour being quiet. So let God be God. Finally, the third word, get up, go out, and go forward. He says, Elijah, get up. I have work for you to do. You don't retire. You're going to do something different. And what's great, folks, is this third word refreshes him vocationally, just like I am experiencing vocational refreshment. He can't do the same thing. He's got to go on to do something else. In fact, he's going to now anoint a new leader. One day, Christian may move on from being the leader here. So, he moves on. God is still God. Amen? And God will, and I hope he stays a long time, but God is not dependent on that. He says, I have new work for you. Go anoint Elisha, because your job here is over. You're now going to do something else. And by the way, Elijah, you were never alone. You're so self-absorbed. I'm the last one. He says, I have 7,000 other people. You know, God has a sense of humor. Get out of your cave. Get out of your little trap. Don't let Jezebel rent space in your head for no cost. I have work for you to do. So he passes on the mantle to Elijah. Folks, I'm excited about the future of Orb in Fairhaven as you do more Orb things and to see how you do ministry as you get older and more seasoned. And what happens to you when you become building owners? Oh my gosh, you'll be like your parents. What? You bring a pizza in the sanctuary? Don't you know where I scrubbed that rug? You better be able to laugh at yourself. This is going to be funny. But your routine will now have fresh meaning. You're going to do new things in a new place, but God will meet you in the routine. As you've gotten more age, as you realize there are new seasons coming, you yourself will come to midlife spirituality. And thank God you have some older folk who can walk with you. I pray that the younger folk here would connect as they go through their off season. It's okay. If Elijah went through it, amen, it's okay for us. I want to leave you with this. And that is God's promise. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what's so good about that? If you're going through a bad time or a high time, God's the same. If you have a lot of money or little money, God's the same, right? If you're popular or unpopular, God's the same. When we have communion in a few minutes, we'll remember the words of Jesus, I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats of me will never be hungry again. This is about a life of steadiness, right? No matter what season it is, you're steady. Praise God. And this is what Jesus gives to us. Are you willing to go to the silent places, though? Are you willing to let go of the script and just listen? Amen. Anyway, I got to leave, and you said there'd be brownies later?
I didn't promise.
You didn't, okay. He texted me and says, I can't preach on the 30th. And I said, I can do it. And then I texted back and said, will there be brownies afterwards? He never answered me. Anyway, there will be an Elijah syndrome in your life in this church. And I just want to leave these three words with us. Get up, go out, and go forward. When God speaks to you and says, Matt, what are you doing here? Jared, what are you doing here? Nancy, what are you doing here? Get up. Get in touch with your surroundings, with your body, with your health. Be present. Second, go out. Don't get trapped in the past of the glory days, in that cave. And finally, go forward. Return to your routine, because routines aren't bad. Routines are good. But God's going to do a new thing in the life of Orb. I can't wait to hear. Are you excited?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's pray. So, Lord, if you spoke today, then let it bear fruit. Oh, God, we just ask that the life of Elijah, being so transparent, would bring hope for us, even when the mighty get fragile and brittle. Lord, we don't have to hide. So Lord, bless the ministry of Or. Bless Christian and the elders and the music team as they go into your future. Oh Lord, you are the God of the past, the present, and the future. We don't have to fear, for what can people do to us?